I'm Tony Craig. I play Jack Huey on Due South.
I am Catherine Bruyé.
Hey, everyone. This is Ramona Milano, otherwise known as Francesca Vecchio.
This is Paul Haggis, and you're listening to Due South by Southeast.
I wish this podcast would carry me away. But while talking to Squeaky and Michelle get a word in edgeways, wrinkled over a bottle of rum on a dock in Southampton Bay. Due South, that is what we're talking about. Due South. Saddle up my microphone, give the Finn Baker a bone.
Due South by Southeast. Hello and welcome to Due South by Southeast East. I'm Detective Squee. With me, as always, of course, is the one female without which I could not make Due South by Southeast happen. Of course, off camera, it is Lieutenant Willow. She's looking up, but she's being shy right now. I mean, she'll bark at any other occasion, but when I... Anyway. And also, hanging about here somewhere down there, don't know if you can see her on camera, but it is Mountie Michelle!
Now, I am down here, believe it or not.
How long did it take us to get your camera set, the camera set up so you could be seen?
Honestly, I had to put more cushions on this chair.
I swear I have not moved anything in the setup since we last recorded Due South by Southeast. Nothing certainly that I can think of. I moved right over to the edge as far as I can go. You can see the wall here. And somehow Michelle, I think, has got smaller.
I cannot believe I've actually got...
I think she's got smaller. That's the only explanation there is. Now, I know we just started the show, but we've forgotten to bring some alcohol up. So I'm going to send, if I can, Mountie Michelle away to just quickly... By the way, everyone, in fact, yeah, I'll get into this with them if you want to go and get the bottle of booze. It's nothing about you.
I was going to say, now I don't know what you're going to say about me when I'm not here. You've maybe
been having... Not like that.
Okay, I'll be back shortly.
No, I just thought I'd have a word with them. Like, I didn't want to basically spend the material while you're here about... Now I've forgotten what I was going to say. Thank you very much for tuning in, everyone. I'm very sorry that this is once again... Please take time, Michelle. I could just fan forever. That's fine. They can still hear you. Sorry, I bought some booze, especially for the recording. I've left downstairs, so it's in the freezer in the back kitchen. Oh, lost the TV. There we are. So, anyway, guys, it's all going off the rails already. Sorry for, again, having a bit of a sneak attack episode. Essentially, sometimes it's just hard to work out a date to record with Michelle's busy schedule as an NHS nurse and... my general kind of busy lifestyle of doing one thing or another. I've just come back from LARP, for instance. Does mean that sometimes... Sorry about any interference. It's getting a little interference in the mic. Oh, it might be where Michelle's mic is. We good? We good? I think we got rid of it. So anyway, guys, sorry about the sneak attack nature of this. Just come back from LARP. Had an absolutely lovely time. I'd just like to say hi to all the members of the Lions in Curious Pastime, and especially the Knights of the North, of which I am now a member. I'm one of their priests, bringing a disorder, of course, to the religion which I have joined. But how are you guys? I hope you're well. Hope you're enjoying the... I don't know what it's like where you are. I keep on meeting friends of mine from the north who keep on saying it's cold or we've missed the summer. It is hot, and I think this is the technical term, I think it's as hot as balls here in the south. We're like up to mid to late 20s here It's just ridiculous. And before you go, oh, over in where we are in America, it's actually hotter all the time. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it is. But we don't have the infrastructure where it's so rarely this hot. So we don't have air conditioning. We don't have all this fancy stuff. Even had to stop the fan you can see in the background here. So we're audible. So, you know, just please get off my case about it is all I'm asking. Not that
what
you
happened
are,
but... while I was gone? Why are you moaning at the viewers?
I don't know. I was trying to vamp and it just went that way. No, I'm only kidding, guys. It's lovely to see you all out there. Yes, I can see you in your homes. Stop doing that. Anyway, I want to thank you all for tuning in, all the people who tuned in, especially for our Tom Lissus interview. What a gent. What a an interesting guy. What a hell of a career. Love talking to him about everything which he's been through, but it was really interesting to me, particularly talking to him about ADHD. Like, I was not aware at all that he was someone who also has it. And yeah, it was a really interesting conversation. I try not to go on about it too much or kind of sound like, I don't know. I try not to go on about it too much, but one thing it really made me conscious of, which it has so many times since I found out I've got ADHD, is like the commonality, the things which we've got in common, which I would never have even thought, I just assumed was uniquely me. And it was when he was speaking about working with Tony Craig, and he was getting all like manic and he kept on kind of coming in with stuff. And Tony Craig just lent to him some of his stillness. And I thought that was really interesting. So if you haven't watched it yet, please do check out my interview with Tom Lissus on the Due South by Southeast feed. Just before I forget as well, due to, I think I've said this on previous episodes, but due to the, I don't know what that noise was, but due to the, sorry, we're getting old a bit. Like, you know, there's, I don't know if you guys probably kind of hear this, but there's a really track. It sounds like a sign going. Someone is really milking that sound for all it's worth right outside at the window of my room here. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting distracted. But yes, due to changing rules around streaming on StreamYard, which I use to put this out to the different locations, they no longer allow you to stream to groups. So for now, what I'm going to do is it's going to stream to my personal page. I'm sharing it to Due South by Southeast. I'm sharing it to the Due South thing. I'm well aware, quite a few episodes now behind on the audio feed. So if you're listening to this later, I've caught up, which I will do intend to do. But yeah, so for now, it's going to be streaming elsewhere. At one stage, I'll probably set up a Due South by Southeast Streams page so you can follow that. But right now, please just bear with us. And all the episodes on YouTube are on the Dr. Squee Show's YouTube page, youtube.com/Dr. Squee. But anyway, Michelle, where else could they find us online, I wonder? I've done this for a while.
No, we haven't. So Facebook.
Yeah, where's that?
Due South by Southeast.
Yeah, which is that a page or a group, it's given a that I've just page? Talked about it? I mean, I just group. Told you that it's a group, which they
it's
can't...
It's a page, a group. It's a group.
It's a group. There isn't a page as of yet, but I might set one up for the streaming now. Anyone else?
Instagram?
Yep.
Due South BSE?
Yep, sounds about right. Yep. Did we set up on Instagram? Yeah, we did. See, even I've got
to
remember.
We did, yeah. I know that we did.
Due South BSA. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, yeah. What if they want to email us? I mean, not that anyone has chosen to in quite a while, but...
DueSouthBSE@gmail.com.
Yep, you see, if you said that more often, maybe they would email us. And finally, on Twitter or... No, we're going to call it Twitter. I don't care. Elon?
Again, I think it's Due South BSE.
Which we may or may not take down at some point in place of Threads, because it's getting a wee bit toxic up there in X. Not that it wasn't already. You see, I'll call it X when I'm saying how toxic it is.
Twitter when it's good, X when it's bad.
I mean, so it's basically X now. I mean, sorry, I said I wasn't going to get into this once we've gone to record, but damn, every single damn post that Elon Musk makes, I now get a notification on, which just doesn't seem right. We've got a comment. Hey, it's your friend of mine, Sarah Kirk.
Sarah.
Hello, I'm glad you're live, as I need cheering up, as Manchester United have just lost 3-0 to Liverpool. Wow, that's footballing at football.
Well, hopefully we can put a smile on your face then, Sarah.
Yes, yeah, we want to put a smile on your face. We're very happy. Very sorry for you, but very happy to have you joining us. We don't really follow football, though. Sam's local team, so yeah, the Saints, normally.
No idea how they're doing.
They're in the Premiership again.
Oh,
yeah, they went to, went down to first division. Or no, is it the Championship? Okay, I'm going to go on an old man rant here. It used to be first division, second division, third division, fourth division, but obviously that was a bit too easy. So now it's the Premiership, the Champions League too, which champion would indicate you were a champ, not in second, anyway. Champion two, and then whatever the fuck what used to be four is. Sorry, pardon me for the swearing. Because we never swear on this. But yeah, sorry about that, Sarah, and thank you very much for watching. So, Michelle, how are you? What's new with you?
Well, nothing new, really, other than getting shorter, obviously.
Yeah, I think the evidence there, she's shrinking.
Honestly, I don't know what is happening. I think you're doing it on purpose. Like, you're making the chair a bit shorter every time I come around.
I mean, even Tom Melissa's noticed. He said, it's like, oh, Michelle, she's really tiny, isn't she? No. He did, in fairness, say.
I think he said something like, I was in the background. Like, oh, no, she's actually sat next to me.
Yeah, she stood on the desk. You wouldn't believe it. Oh.
Oh, we're gone.
No, I think we're still live.
You can
still see us. Sorry, 1 second. This is going to look very awkward. Sorry about this. Our video. Hey, there we are. I moved some wires. I made the carnal mistake of moving some wires a little bit before we went live. So, anyway, sorry, this heat is really getting to me. Honestly, I'm a bit distracted today, and that's me being distracted. So, anyway, guys, so we've got an episode of Juice Out to talk about. But yeah. First, Michelle, in fact, we've got a few orders of business to go through. In fact, I think we should say what one we're drinking, because I think we should finish this one in favor of the one you just brought up.
Yeah.
So we're going to do things a little differently than usual. Yeah. I don't know why I'm messing with the format on you. Mini Mountie Club. So eventually I will get that put on properly. We got a proper jingle for that done by your friend of mine, Blaine Garrison. So that staging is all him, which we will share with you. Well, I'll get it back up properly anyway. But
so you've gone out of order and now I'm not ready.
Yeah, because you were so ready otherwise, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So do we have... Now, this was the conversation we're having off mic, and I don't think you've had a chance to check.
No, I never actually...
But I'm wondering, and I'm not totally milking this sentence out so that she's got time to look, but I'm wondering, just perchance, if our guest last week... Or a couple of weeks ago, I think it was now, Mr. Tom Melissus. Just curious, perchance, is he on the list of mini Mounties?
You know what? I don't think he is. I've just had a very quick scan and I can't see his name.
Well, let's put him down then.
Yeah.
Okay, one day we're going to have to do a double check because we don't want any doubles on here. But God, is that, have you gone over in pen at some point or is that just bleed through from
the
outside?
Gone through from,
oh, that's fine. Okay.
Written on there. Yeah.
So, what number are we on?
140,
Mr. Tom Melissus, which, believe you me, when we get to Christmas, he's going in the golden circle. Which, Tom, if you're watching, it is not as perverted as it might sound. We just every year we open up the mini Mountie Club golden circle and we'll welcome in some proud inductees. Believe Michelle, you're partying in there as an NHS nurse. We put
I
in.
Am, yes.
And we put in the entirety of the NHS, I think, following year.
We've got a suggestion for a mini Mountie. Oh, we've
got a mini Mountie.
Oh, yes.
Sarah, what's the surname? But can my friend Richard be a mini Mountie, please? Of course he can. Yes. Mini Mountie's always well. If you're watching, if you want to email into us, any way you want to get in contact to with us, we trust you that you've got the permission of the mini Mountie to become part of the club. Don't pull that thread at all, because it's very much a trust system. If you say, can my friend be a mini Mountie club, we're going to imagine that you've asked their permission. Don't tell us otherwise, but we're going to imagine that that's happened. What's Richard's surname, please, Sarah? Unless you were just like him in his... Richard, Sarah Kirk's friend. His surname is Smith, so that sounds like a made-up name, but I'm not bothered. Richard Smith, you are in Mini Mountie Club.
And number 141, Sarah.
Please play this clip back to him so he can rejoice in his mini Mountie-ism.
And please reassure him there is nothing involved.
Nothing whatsoever.
He doesn't have to dress up as a Mountie unless he wants to.
By the way, we still could do an episode dressed as Mounties.
I cannot believe we've done this many without dressing up.
There has to... like, we'll pick the next... yeah. Whatever the next special episode is, and we'll each get...
We should do, like, a special Halloween one. Where we dress up. That's not that far.
Zombie off. Mini Mountie?
I think that could work.
Could be a thing.
That could work.
We're also on, I think, episode number 77. Yeah, it's a little while off, but... oh, 80s coming. Yeah, no, I think maybe... maybe Halloween might be.
It seems a good time to dress up, doesn't it?
Would seem like a good time. So watch this space. We've been talking about doing this pretty much, I think, since episode one. But we'll do one episode in
advance. Can I get like one of those like taller hats just to make me look...
The best thing is, you can just shop in the kids section. I mean, obviously, it'll be a bit oversized, you know. Kids are only so small. Has our mini Mountie, I'm going to forget her name, but there was an actual mini Mountie who asked a question to Paul Gross in the outfit. She could drop the link to where she got that, then I think she'll be about the same size, if not smaller.
This is what I've got to put up with people.
Because she's short. I don't know if you picked up on that. I also have one to put in there.
Ooh, okay.
My friend Kate de Havilland, or Kate DH, she goes with.
So KTH or Kate H?
Kate DH. D-H. It's de Havilland. I don't know how to spell that. So yeah, she's on
Kate de H.
DH.
DH.
She's on Facebook as that, so I think. Excuse me, sorry. There was a sneeze button, but I didn't have time to press it. So thank you very much. Have you got any? Sorry, just to check before we continue on. So we've got a bumper, three inductees to Mini Mountie. What are we on now?
142.
Given that we were trying to get to 100, nearly 150. So if by Halloween we happen to be at 150 as well, it's a double celebration. Just suggesting.
I do really want to dress up as a Mountie as well.
I mean, I think it's going to happen now. That's got to be our October Chief South by Southeast. Yeah, that's got to be our Halloween special / 150th. I think we could get 150th, especially if we can sneak in one more Chief South by Southeast in the way.
Yeah, we do
and then one for Halloween.
Yeah, it's doable.
Yeah. And I think we're doing not bad this year on one a month, like given how poorly we've done in previous years.
Yeah, that couldn't be helped, though.
We are doing better. We are doing better at our hit rate of Due South by Southeast. Anyway, right. Hell yes, you can, Sarah Kirk. Can I dress up as a certain Chicago cop? Yes, definitely. And we will want some photographic evidence of that, please. Anyone else who wants to dress up, and genuinely, we will quite happily take anyone else who wants to dress up and join us, either as a Mountie, we've got to advertise.
We're going to have to pick a date then, aren't we? We're going to have to pick a date so everyone knows when to dress
up. So as a Mountie, as Ray, as any of the other characters, please, you're more than welcome. Everyone is welcome to this party. Speaking of which, just going to give a quick shout out while we finish off our round. Cheers.
Sorry, I'm doing it.
What is it? We're back again. Sorry, if it looks like the video's cutting out and back in again, like because of the lighting, that's what's happening. For Christ's sake, right.
I feel like it's every time I lean down. I don't know if I'm...
Yeah, you just... Is it you?
It might be my presence here. I don't know. It's just a coincidence, I think.
I think we're good. Anyway, while we're talking, we started out something which is just a bit of fun. It's me and Kate DH, who we just mentioned there. We've started off dramatic coffee selfies. If you're watching and you're not a member of the group, Sarah Kirk's having a good time there. Michelle's having a good time there. I'm having a good time there. So is Kate, as my fellow admin. Tom Melissus is having a party in the dramatic coffee selfies. We've bona fide celebrities in here. It is just, again, like Mini Mountie Club, a bit of silliness. You post in there whenever you fancy. Like I post in daily. Some people post daily. Some people post every now and again. And it's picture of you with a coffee was the original thing. But any beverage will do. It's not a selfie because you're taking a picture of the coffee. So, like, that's out the window. And it doesn't have to be dramatic, can be fun. But they're called dramatic coffee selfies. But it's whatever beverage, you just take a photo, share what you're up to. And it's just, it is genuinely just a place of joy and happiness. You just go there, you post your picture, you look at what everyone else is posting, you're just celebrating whatever anyone's up to during the day. It's just a really nice, fun community thing. Please join us. Dramatic Coffee Selfies on Facebook. So it's just called Dramatic Coffee Selfies, the group. So, Michelle, I believe we have to down these now because we're not doing pretty well here. Not that we promote downing drinks, but we've got another one to get to.
Good,
and look, we've got a plot point, all right? So I was off, just to set the scene, I was off visiting my mum, and as I want to do on a weekend, sometimes go around the shops with her. And we went, there was a food fair in Romsey, where I hail from. And they had a few nice little bottles of alcohol. So I thought, given that we try and do a different bottle of rum every now and again on here, we will get some juice out of it eventually, by the way, for anyone who's not familiar.
We did watch an episode.
We do detour a little bit before we get to the juice out. The Mini Mountain Club's very tenuously linked, but apart from that, we will get there. So, Michelle, if you wouldn't mind doing the honours on the bottle, if you've got it there.
Okay.
I will let you pour.
Let's see if we can show.
In fact, shall we do a live open? Right now, whoa. Sorry about this, guys. We're a lot better planned than it looks like.
It looks very fruity looking at this.
It's a very fruity one, but we'll get to it. First of all, I have to do, yo ho ho, we're getting drunk as hell. But can you tell me this, what rum are we drinking, Michelle? Flawless.
A. You can't miss the A. So this says...
I don't think he does it on that one.
He might not. It's been a while since I've heard.
You're just
original.
Adding the A to everything A? Now.
Well, yeah.
When we've got a guest beverage. So Sarah is on the Baileys.
Very nice.
Good choice.
Very nice.
Nice and soothing in this hot weather. So Michelle.
It says margarita at the top. I'll get you to show it properly in a moment. Sunset, freshly thrown. Freshly thrown cocktail of tequila, cognac, and orange liqueur. Pour and party. Do you want to show
them? They're this and a more straight up margarita. I thought this one sounded nice. Sorry, the picture isn't reversed because I find it weird when my face is reversed. But it's called Sunset. I'm sure you can find it online. So it's a version of margarita. But yeah, like you say, with the... a little bit of cognac and orange liqueur added to it. So we're going to pop this live. If I can without accidentally... Oh, it doesn't pop, but...
Very dramatic.
I got a little noise on the mic. Yeah. They'll have had that at home, all right.
Right.
As I say, I did have a little bit of a try earlier.
Cheers to anyone out there who's having a little drink of
alcohol
or non-alcohol.
Yeah, whatever you like. Yeah, it's not a thing of like, you've got to have booze to have a good time. I mean, we happen to be having some, but enjoy whatever beverage you like on this lovely sunny day.
That's nice.
Cheers. Oh, sorry, don't wait or anything. No, please just tuck in. Yeah.
Pour and party sounds like a plan.
Let me put the Chiron on the screen. Porn party sounds like a plan, though, Sarah. Cheers. Oh, that's very
that's
nice.
Very nice, isn't it?
A little worryingly nice. Oh, and it's definitely got that tequila kind of taste to it. So, I do not know what's happening with the video. So, if it looks like we're suddenly bathed with light every now and again, that means the picture's just gone off and back on again. Anyway, so Michelle. That's Mini Mountain Club. That's what one we're drinking. I think that's all the orders of business for this week.
Yeah, we should probably just crack on.
Let's crack on. So we are talking about the episode, which is named?
Seeing is Believing, but is it?
Oh, I like that. You're creating some intrigue here. I was trying to get the actual episode. There we go. So this is a season three episode. Season three and four only with 13 episodes, or as the UK, as it was released, 26 episodes in one jam-packed season three. And this one, as you say, is... Oh, for Christ's sake, pick the wrong one. Seeing is believing. Just talk amongst yourselves. So this is...
Enjoy your drinks out there, people.
I would say the way I would describe this shorthand, just me, is after a man is murdered in their sight at a mall, Ray, Thatcher and Walsh argue over who did it and how utilizing Fraser to help uncover the truth. This one is written by Michael Tavisham and directed by Steve DeMarco. And I know we usually forget to do that, but we're doing it today. So, Michelle, what did you generally think of this episode? I thought it was a really good one.
I thought it was a really good one. And it was interesting because it was a very different type of episode for Due South. There was a lot of things about it that were very different, but they made it work. It was really good. It was really interesting. And one of the things that kind of struck me was because this whole episode is based on like an eyewitness account of something that happened.
Yeah.
And it's actually notorious that eyewitness accounts are bad.
Yes.
That's a genuine thing. Eyewitness accounts are bad. And this episode is really interesting because you've got three people that are in a position where you would think that eyewitness testimony would be good. But and it's everyone's.
Benny even calls him acute observers, you know, professional observers. I love the fact that it kind of really I think that's what season 3/4 can do really well. It's where the first two seasons got into a sort of rhythm and a structure for each episode. Going in here, like it broke up that structure a bit, played with it a bit, it got to do some different stuff. So it does play the comedy quite a bit here, but also I think it gives them different things to play. So this version of Ray particularly and Callum Keith Renee, it really gave him, I felt, something different to do in this episode. Like when he's giving the, we'll get onto it, when he's talking about, he puts himself into the flashback of what happened. And he was just so straight down the line, kind of serious. It was just a different performance to what we've seen so far. Yeah. And I've recently seen him in, I watched back The Umbrella Academy before watching the last series, and he was in the penultimate series of that. And watching him in Star Trek recently, it's just the layers of this guy. Like, I think where the later series were a bit more comedy, it's sometimes maybe could get overlooked exactly how much he was given to that performance, which I think where it does play it more for comedy could have been less if it wasn't done by such a great actor. So where do we start?
It's absolutely great. Yeah, so it starts off that they're in a shopping mall, as they call them over in America. So we've got Benny, we've got Ray, we've got Diefenbaker, and they're walking and talking as they're going through this mall. And the one thing you wanted me to write down was a Swiss Army Inukshuk.
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 I loved it when Benny was giving the description of the Inukshuk. It's like, what does it do? It's like, well, it can show you where the best seals are. It can be used as a gathering. Like, there was about like five like different usages.
Yeah.
And there's Ray going, like, yeah, because, you know, always people are hounding me for where's the best place to hang out for the best seals. That's all I ever hear. It's just, it's great. And just as with anything which they bring in, I'm sure it's based on something real, if not a real artifact. But it's the way Benny just describes it and all the different usages and everything.
Uber Eats on the watch.
Got a smartwatch?
But you get the most points. Like, things pop up. You'll be doing that great. Uber Eats are giving me.
You wouldn't have me off. Have me playing that with my smartwatch.
sorry, people. So Benny and Ray, they come up to this stone.
The Inukshuk.
The Inukshuk. This stone.
It looks like a bit of Stonehenge, basically, but a single.
Yeah, it's not as good as
Try Stone.
You know, go to Stonehenge, don't go and see this, is what I would say.
Oh, we starting the old Anuk-Shuk Stonehenge rivalry.
Yeah, I think we might.
Yeah.
We might. I think ours is better, just saying. God.
I mean, just and saying. those fights just calm down as well.
But in the shopping mall, you've got Walsh, you've got Thatcher, you've got Ray, you've got Benny, you've got Deef, and then there's it all kind of focuses on this table. You've got three people sitting at your table, you've got two men and this lady, and argument starts on this table, and most of them are very focused, like Walsh and Ray and Thatcher, they're very focused on looking at this argument that's started to happen. Benny gets distracted because somebody steals a woman's handbag and runs off, so obviously Benny is going to go chasing after that person. But the others stay focused on this argument, and one of the guys actually gets stabbed and dies.
Well, I love watching this back, and I can't believe it just shows you how... And I don't think this was just me, but it might have been. But it just shows you how unobservant, generally we are to smaller detail. Because when I first watched this, I remember, the first scene, I didn't realise that, depending on whose perspective you're following... the nuances of how things are being said are completely different, and it just really is quite striking when you watch it back like this. The first time I was watching it, I didn't notice that at all. I just thought we were watching the scene with these people and they're observing them. I didn't notice that, yeah, in one scene one of the guys is really angry, in the other scene the other guy, in the other scene that's the woman who's being hysterical, and it's just it's all changes just enough for each perspective. It's really great.
It's really interesting to see that the way that everyone can watch the same thing and get something different out of it. It's,
yeah
fascinating. We get this scene where Benny is like chasing after this guy who's stolen this handbag, and he's even because they're upstairs and he's swinging down something true Benny style.
Well they split up, they're both, it was Benny and Deef
and Baker, yeah,
both going after this perp, and Deef obviously not being as much of a show off, just goes straight after, just keeps on the tail. And Benny's like, no, I think I can swing off these flags. And he goes, He does he's go, ah. I don't know where he goes, but he does.
He's doing it in style.
And he goes down the flags to get the guy.
Yeah, and Deef takes the bag and runs off.
Which is an interesting thing, because speaking of perspectives, fun fact, we started watching this previously and we hadn't seen each other for a while. So we're like, you know what? Like, we got the Tom Melissa. This was, I think, just before the Tom Melissa thing. Mm. We're like, you know what? We've recently done one. We've got another thing coming up. Why don't we just, like, have a bit of a catch-up? Because we do like to catch up and everything. Being dear friends of many a year. And we started making a few notes on this. We got about, a scene in. And when we look back at the notes, it's like, what the hell? What does this mean? What we were saying?
Even our observations were different watching it.
Yeah, exactly. So the irony of this is just manifest.
So we're like, oh, he takes the bag and takes it back to the lady. Then we're like, when does he do that?
Yeah, this time when we watch it, Diefenbaker basically just takes the handbag and runs off. We don't see that handbag once again.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of our little Deef. Sorry, what happened there was Willow ran in, and the camera, which was working kind of reliably, she just knocked the computer base unit, and it managed to flick it off.
Yes, anyway, we ended up coming up with things that we thought Deef had done with the handbag.
Well, I've got a joke which it reminded me of. So this is an old Lenny Henry one. There's a guy who has got his dog there. He's a blind guy. Gives a dog £5 note. Sends on its way. Dog comes back a minute later and it's got a newspaper, hands it to the guy and goes and spits out the change into his hand. And there's a guy there who's witnessed this all and goes, wow, that's amazing. Did you just, how did you get the dog to do it? He's always had this down. I don't know why, but tell you what, do you want a paper? He goes, sure, yeah. Here's a fiver. So hands it to the dog. He goes, which one do you want? It's anything but the Daily Mail. Wise choice. So we'll get you a Guardian. So hands on fiver. Guardian. Dog goes, which means I understood you the first time. Goes off, gets the Guardian, comes back, gives the guy, spits a change into his hand. Amazing. which dog's name? Butch. Oh, Butch, you're amazing. You're a wonderful little scratch behind the ears. And he goes, so, Wums, if you want something else, goes, what do you mean? It's like, well, do you ever get anything out of the newspaper, get him to get anything else? Like for instance, if I gave him a 50, would he be able to go and get me some shopping? He goes, you could try. And he goes, all right, give it a go. Puts 50 in his mouth. Why was I struggling with that? Puts a 50 in his mouth and goes, right, here's my shopping list. Quickly reads out a few bits. Dog goes, got it. So the dog goes off. They're waiting there. They're waiting there an hour. And they're like, well, could have been a queue at the tills. He's buying quite a few bits. Waiting there another hour. It's like, oh. Both getting a bit concerned at the stage. Go out looking for the dog. Looking everywhere. They finally look down this alleyway. Dog's there, lying back, surrounded literally by bitches. Like female dogs all around. Traces of coke around around his nose. Very pleased with himself, like a bottle of Jack Daniels in his hand. Oh, got this at the food market also. Cool. And the guy goes, Butch, you've never done this before. Butch goes, oh, I've never had the money before.
You're very pleased with that, aren't you? Very pleased with that.
This was in the segment, bear in mind, which Lenny Henry back in the day did this song about bad jokes. It's like, talk about bad jokes, bad jokes, bad jokes. And then he'd go into a joke and then go back in the chorus. So I think that's what Deef did. I think Deef was coked off his head with some female dogs and a bottle of Jack Daniels. That's my theory of what happened to the handbag. And if I'm wrong, you show me the deleted scene which proves it. That's all I'm saying.
We don't see him very much in the episode at all, do we? So goodness knows what he was doing with that.
I'm saying he doesn't appear in the rest of the episode. Don't see him again to the next episode. And the next episode, if you watch very closely, we're in dark sunglasses. That's all I'm saying. Sorry for anyone's ear there. I just laughed right into the microphone. That was not friendly on anyone's ears.
So we
shouldn't start drinking before the record, you say? I don't see the problem. Cheers.
Cheers. And do you know what? One thing I'm going to point out. There was at one point, I'm going into something here.
Cool.
So the guy that gets stabbed, so nobody does anything to try and save him. And this is me with my nurse hat on here.
Thatcher checks and goes,
no, he's dead.
Already dead.
No, he's dead, yeah. Mate. No, he's dead, mate. It's no point.
Although it's a rather... Go.
I would say I would still try. I would still try until the paramedics turn up and say, no, we need to stop. But just the fact that everyone goes, nah, he's just dead, isn't he?
So you're just basically saying you want to snog a dead old guy.
No, you don't have to. Look.
So I'm here.
The current advice is don't give mouth to mouth. Just do the CPR, people. Let's try and save some lives.
I remember when they first announced they were sort of dropping the mouth to mouth bit. It was an advert with Vinnie Jones in it, which for anyone outside the UK, a British soccer player or football player, as we correctly call it.
I don't think.
Yeah, but you do, because it's only the Americans. So the rest of the world over,
we
know it's football. Anyway. Apart from Aussie, where they have Aussie rules. But that's not the point. Look, anyway, Vinnie Jones, and he's kind of like one of these geezers. You know, you might have seen him in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels or Gone in 60 Seconds. Not bad when he's given the right part. But anyway, that's another story. He goes on this advert, and it's like he's basically playing a geezer kind of thing. He's going, so, right, here's what you do if someone needs some resuscitation. None of that kissing business, nothing funny like that. And it's like, it was so homophobic. It's like, it was probably the latest you could be that homophobic openly in an advert. But it's like, oh, none of that's not got another bloke. Oh, we are men. It's like, just Jesus Christ.
Good to say, it's not needed, just do the Zoom.
I mean, it was at most thinly veiled homophobia. I'm only laughing because of how out of step it is. I'm not laughing at homophobia, obviously, but just made me laugh how blatantly shit it was. Anyway.
Yeah, so Thatcher just looks at him and goes, no, he's dead. No, he's dead, mate. Don't bother.
I do kind of like it. It was like Rose goes, like, no, why don't you throw mouth to mouth? She's going, I know what I'm fucking doing. It's just he's dead. That was quite a nice touch.
Yeah. Oh, something like, no, I know I've got the skills. Yeah. Like, I've got the skills to do it. I'm just not going to.
God, I'd bring him back to life if I did that. But, you know, that's another story.
Yeah, so that was just something that struck me. And I think that's just me and my nurse. Going, you're not
sorry,
even
and I was just totally, after telling you off, going, it's like, sorry, I think I've got a text message there.
Oh, these
smartwatches are evilly addictive, but yeah. They're so good.
Yeah, aren't they, John? Yeah, so then they ended up, they're back at the station. And so there's nobody at the station. The weird thing is, so they all go back to the station. So we've got Benny, Walsh, Thatcher, Ray. They go back to the station. The phones are ringing. They go, why is no one answering the phone? Nobody's there. Everybody's at the mall.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bit where I must admit I was like, is that standard procedure to send every cop you've got? Like, I don't get me wrong. I know it's murder. I know that's kind of serious, you know, but do you usually send all the cops you've got to the mall?
I don't think they do.
Apart from, of course, we've got, I mean, this is quite a good one for all our ancillary cast, I believe. Yay. I suppose. Yeah. So you've got, I always want to make sure I don't get the wrong one. So you've got Dewey and Huey, because Louie's the one who's deceased at this stage. So our boy Tomalissus!
Yay!
So we got all our kind of, many friends of the show. We've got Tomalissus, we got T-Dog Craig, or Tony Craig, as some people call him. But he insists T-Dog Craig. He did not give me permission to call him that. Do not call him that. If you meet him, just don't go, hey, I hear the guys from Due South by Southeast call you T-Dog Craig. Don't say it to him.
He doesn't know we called him that.
Because he put up with enough of our bullshit when I interviewed him. No, it was really lovely, genuinely top like.
They're all great, though, aren't they?
But I was having a little bit of a proud moment. It was like, Adam on the show, Adam on the show. Like Paul Gross comes up, Adam on the show. Milano, Romano Milano. Am I saying it? Have I gone?
Yeah, I think it's just sounding weird to you, but yeah.
Romano Milano. Anyway, sorry. Just, you know when you say a name and just doesn't... Anyway, I may have had a few drinks. Anyway, she's been on the show and it's like, that's it. Need. It's like, yeah. got, need.
He was genuinely doing that while we watched the
film. I love it,
Got, need.
Oh, they're just... It's just such a wonderful cast. No, it's nice because in these later series, there was a bit more of a mix-up. So, like, you'd have some episodes which would quite strongly feature the guest cast.
Yeah.
Other ones which would have them a bit lighter. So this was a nice one for, like, everyone getting a little bit. And I think this is the most that we've seen of Tom in an episode so far. Got to be a bit badass. And it's like, we're trying to help you, but tell us what we need to know. It was great. It was great. And
yeah, it was awesome. So it's funny. So the suspects they've taken back, but they're the funniest thing is they are talking about, you know, their experiences. They're like, oh well, we've got you guys as a witness. Let's take all your statements. Let's figure out who actually did the stabbing. Every single one of them has got a different version of events. So you've got Ray who thinks it was the guy that did it. You've got Thatcher who thinks it's the woman that did it. And then you've got Walsh, who thinks both of them did it because it was a mob thing, like taking him out.
Yeah, and I felt like it was more like we've already established that Walsh is kind of the authoritarian. Mm. He is one of the people, like with the Rays, who learns from Benny to be a little less so, a little more understanding. I think he's the one who would never say it. He's the most who wouldn't say that he's learned anything from him because he still wants to pretend like he's the annoying Mountie. But I think it's clear that he does learn and evolve from being around Benny. But I think we set him up as the authoritarian cop. So his sort of stance on like, nah, it's more bad guys, like just lock them all up. That's already been pretty established. I think with same thing with Thatcher, we've seen that romantic side with Benny, which some people have very interestingly said when we talked about that, about the power dynamic being his boss. I thought that was kind of interesting. But I even though we've already kind of established also with Ray about his ex-wife who features in this episode, it's kind of interesting because like I was saying before, I think this gave him an opportunity to really give a different performance. It's any of his usual bullshit he puts around of, bullshit. Yeah,
you tell him.
Bullshit that he usually puts around about being the big I am. sort of seems to fade away in this. It's a real kind of like real performance of like, look, I know you want kids. I know this is stolen away, but we can do this. We can make this work. Yeah, Willow's very passionate about this scene. But yeah, I just thought it was really interesting. I thought that was one of his most, grounded performances in a character, which can be a bit buffoonish. And I think he plays that really well. But I love the fact that he added that kind of play. Willow, shh.
She just wants to be part of it.
Yeah, jeez. Come on the mic if you're going to do that. That's all I'm saying.
So face our audience. Behind the scenes, isn't it, Willow? Can you do it in front of the camera? No.
I would heckle you from over. Like, it's a. We need a camera on her. She's like our Waldorf and Statler of this.
Yeah, but it was funny because every one of their.
Maybe you should go to South by Southeast and get out of here.
All of like the observations that they've made were based on their own life experiences.
Yes.
And you could see just how that made them think and even caused them to like see things maybe inaccurately. And
well, I would say again, it's like it's something you were saying, like they don't ever spike this point that it's about witness testimonies being unreliable, which have been proved to be so. But it kind of it covers that without directly saying it. I do like it when they manage to cover a subject and not spike. Sometimes you do have to draw attention to the fact that you're talking specifically about something. It's kind of interesting where they like do it by example without just out and out saying it.
But they made it fun as well.
Yeah, they did make it fun. So I'm being very intellectual about this.
Yeah, let's stop that, please.
I can't help it. I go into analyst mode when we're talking about these episodes.
Yeah. But it was also quite funny because when they were talking about their, you know, what their eyewitness accounts and they're kind of like recreating it, they recreate it in the scene of the mole. And how it looked so different. Like it was really funny when Walsh was telling his, and they're all like sitting there smoking, and all the guys around them are in the sunglasses.
Oh yeah, sunglasses. It's like it took me a second because I was so drawn by them looking so serious and smoking that then I looked around and go, why is everyone else wearing sunglasses? Yeah.
It's just funny how it
went into a spy thing, so it kind of suggests that he's been reading some spy novels recently. And as Sarah Kirk says, yeah, well, I raised some interesting points. Okay, you've got the attention, and you're happy now. Not yet.
Not yet. She might say some more, Sarah. We'll see what she's got to say later. And then you asked me to write down Paul Delbert.
Oh, yeah. There is a bit in this where they go in and they go, Delbert, out of here. And it's like the guy. I mean, like this is the ultimate extra. It's like not only do we not want you to have a line because we'd have to pay you extra, but don't face the camera. Look away and sneak past and get out of the scene as quickly as you can. You just see the back of this guy's head. And I don't think I've ever noticed. And it's probably because I do find it interesting with all the supporting characters in Due South by Southeast, but I just noticed you don't even see this guy's face. He just walks away without you ever seeing it. Or don't say anything. Don't look at the camera. Just
walk out.
Get out of here.
Don't turn around.
This is really funny. It's one of two kind of like really interesting kind of there's another continuity moment which I'll point out later. Like people on IMDb should have had fun with this going. It's like first of all, like under interesting facts, it's like there's a guy who just walks out, you don't see his face, it gets named, it's on screen. Because usually if they're gonna go there, it's like it'll be just like, hey, Delbert. Usually it'd be Delbert, get out of here, and you might see the back of his shoulder just going out the door. You won't, but you watch the back of his head going out the door. So it's the most it's like it's too much of a proper shot for him not to see his face, but not enough of a minor shot to it's just
In my mind, maybe this is mean. But in my mind, I'm kind of hoping that's the only time he's ever got on camera on anything. And he's really proud of it. And he's like, oh, here comes up my scene.
Wait, did they cut the bit where I face the camera? What the? I like to think he's just really pissed off with it. It's like, they told me I was going to get a line. Then they cut the line. And I go, hey, man, that's my line. They go, right, you're not even allowed to face the camera now. They were total bastards to me.
I wrote down Ray and Thatcher argue. But I don't know what my point was. But they did.
I mean, they are arguing over what each of them seen.
Yeah. That's the best I've got there.
Yeah, okay.
Like I say, some of these were old notes.
Oh, I thought we'd all gone. We've gone all to the new ones. Yeah. Yeah. Don't try and use that excuse.
I'll tell you what, I'll make a motion. We'll start talking about Francesca the Sabinian 8.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying I thought it was unnecessary how tight and short a top was. Michelle was going, no, that's for the lads. I'm going, no, Michelle, that isn't appropriate. But she insisted that it was great.
Well, I'm just surprised that that's clearly non-uniform that she's allowed to wear.
She's very almost wearing that uniform, I'll have you know.
clearly just put in there for the lads.
I mean, there was two scenes. When we watched this one, it's basically... There's a scene, I don't know if this is the same scene, but we may as well tackle it all in one. There's one scene where you basically follow Franny's bottom into the scene. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way. Yeah. Like, there's a scene where it's basically, I mean, it might be a little bit on her top half as well, but basically you're following her bottom into the scene in a way which would only happen in 90s and earlier, actually probably 2001, let's face it. Okay, up to the 2010s though, but after that, whoa, we've learned our lesson on TV. But like you watch the shot, but then there's another shot later of admittedly Benny's more dressed, but he's like doing the like almost the Baywatch run. So there is something in it, like at least they're equal opportunity. I don't want to say sexist because I mean it is though, but like at least they are for each, you know. It's like the amount of women I sort of don't like. There's a lot of shows which I watch when you see like Baywatch. Let's face it, I don't think there was many women going, like, phew, Hasselhoff. I think it was mostly women in scantily clad outfits, which there is very little defense for. In this one, at least I can say what most people remember is, phew, Paul Gross. So I don't feel too, like, maybe it at least takes the sin off it a little bit that everyone's objectified in the show.
Yeah, it was just completely out of nowhere. Like, why are we just following her butt around? Why is this
happening? I mean, I joke about it, and obviously that's not okay to follow a butt into a scene. But it was interesting because I feel like Fran, in a way, almost like Paul Gross as Fraser, he kind of like Fraser, sorry, he owned it by being sort of above sexuality. It was like he was just who he was, and like, if a woman fancied him, he was usually oblivious to it and just acted like a good and decent man. So that sort of like took the edge off all these women fancying him and all the women at home, like, let's face it, objectifying him. And I think with Fran, the reason why a lot of it took the sin off it was because she was so empowered and she was so sexually empowered. She wasn't just a foil to men. She took control, like,
yeah, I don't think they were telling her to wear that outfit.
But no, yeah, exactly. It does sort of fit the character.
Yeah.
But that shot was—it's difficult to defend. I'm not going to lie, but I do find that Due South is such an interesting case for that. There was sexualization, sometimes inappropriately. So we've talked before about like the 50-year-old girl in a cab. I believe the actor was slightly older at the time, but it doesn't make it okay in context of like this cabbie checking up a 15-year-old girl. So there was some stuff like, yeah, I just find Due South endlessly fascinating for that some stuff was okay, some stuff wasn't, some stuff probably was more defendable because women had more agency than in your typical 90s TV show. It's interesting. Sorry, I think I've just got rid of most of our viewers on that little rant, but anyway, there we go.
Yeah. But it was kind of funny because, you know, they've got this serious thing going on where they're trying to solve a murder and Francesca is just trying to get a coffee machine.
Speaking of coffees, dramatic coffee selfies on Facebook. Join it now.
Because we were like, well, we're totally with her. You need a decent coffee machine. Especially in a police department. They're 100%. Known for liking their coffee, aren't they?
Yeah, but like Walsh raises a good point on all the detective shows. It's always like they're always complaining about how bad the coffee is. And his theory is that kind of boils up the troops. It's like, oh, you got to feed them bad coffee. That'll keep them going. Police stations thrive on bad coffee.
I'm not sure.
I'll still take the good coffee.
Yeah, I'll take the good coffee. Thank you very much. Yeah, and I think at one point Walsh does say to Francesca, you need to get a longer shirt. I've wrote that down.
Yes, and I was saying, I think he's got a good point. Michelle's going, no, more skimpy. I'm going, Michelle, that's not okay. That's what I'm saying.
And then I did make a note of, because they're all like talking, like trying to figure stuff out, aren't they? Because they're all, no one's in agreement of what happened. At one point, Ray says to Walsh, can you hallucinate? And Walsh just goes, not since the late 60s.
That was no, it's not hallucinate. Hallucinate. And oh, he replies thought, as if it was
hallucinate, yeah. But I was well, coming from a police officer as well, maybe you shouldn't be admitting to stuff like that.
Yeah, that was a nice little, I like the idea that Walsh maybe had a little bit of a toke on a acid cigarette. Yeah, I was going to say a funny cigarette. It was basically acid he was on.
Acid. He was on acid. Explains a lot, doesn't it?
Well, it does sort of like, one second. It does sort of go into that thing of like hypocrisy around policing, of like how.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to go into. Sorry about my rants, but like.
Rant away.
Not only in the police, but also some raised a really good point. When Obama was president, and despite what a fine president, I personally think he was by a lot of accounts, but. Some raised the point about when he was doing the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where they make jokes about themselves, take the piss out themselves, basically, and their opponents and everything else. He did a very, very good job. Obviously, a wonderful orator, very funny. But he joked about, like, taking drugs, smoking weed, basically, when he was in college, as it said in America, or uni over here. And, like, some people said, like, yeah, that's a nice joke, but it's a lot of men, especially black men, who get arrested for that. It's like, it's okay for him to joke about it when, like, there's people who would be under his watch incarcerated for smoking pot. But I think it's worth poking fun at the fact that a lot of these cops who, like, are anti-drugs probably took a few probably back
did.
In their day.
They probably did. I've written down when they. So I thought this was really interesting when Thatcher was kind of like talking through what she saw, and she talks about how she was distracted because Benny was running. That was quite funny. But then when she's focusing on what she actually saw on the table with the arguments, and it goes into this bizarre kind of like hand acting. I wrote down like every
so hand acting.
I wrote down hand acting. But most of what she's describing is just hands. Is that when he grips her hand and then he pulls away, and all you're seeing really is just the hands doing. There's all this talking and then like hand acting.
Yes.
On the table. But I thought that was very interesting. It's like a little bit different for yourself as well.
Yeah, and I liked it when they. I liked it when they had the flex. Oh, well. Sorry, did you want to get on camera?
I think so. I think maybe that's what the problem is. She wants to be seen.
Well, you're caught in the chair.
You put your head through the chair there. She's like, she feels left out.
Hello.
Oh, poor Willow. Is it because you can't do hand acting? You could do poor acting.
So anyway, no, I thought that was really interesting, and I loved the idea of like whenever they did the flashbacks, because you are seeing from their perspective, they put themselves into the moment.
Yes,
but I mean the only one who didn't was Walsh, which was really interesting because he was like damn them all, so he didn't put himself into the scene. So I think it worked thematically to not have him doing that.
Yeah, but they put themselves as one of the characters that was on the table, didn't they? But yeah, I did enjoy the hand acting. I thought that was quite funny. Fresh. And then when like Thatcher, she's thinking it was like an act of passion, and then there's this interesting thing that as she's talking through what's happening, she's actually standing like right in front of Benny, and then you kind of like cut back to
it cuts
her
back,
and Benny,
yeah.
And then she's like stroking his face.
Sir,
like snap out of it.
I mean, this is probably the best argument for the person who raised the idea of like maybe your superior dating you isn't the best idea.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like, and she goes like, she goes, oh, nothing. He goes like, I believe the constable is referring back to a time on a train. Benton!
And that's enough of that.
Thanks, Kim.
Yeah. But then they actually go and speak to the lady who's been, well, she hasn't been charged, but been arrested. Because they're all saying, you know, you can't keep them here. You have to arrest them or release them. They go and speak to the woman, and the woman confesses. She was like, yeah, it was me. And then you kind of think, maybe she's covering up for the guy. But when they speak to the guy, he's like, no, it's me. It's like, okay, maybe he's covering up for the girl. So it's all very confusing as to actually.
Yeah, I love the turn throw and the way they kind of throw you off by the actual. Like, yeah. Because when they get the first confession, everyone else looks crestfallen. And then when they get the second confession, like, I know what I said was right.
But when they're talking to the lady, Judy, because Benny starts questioning her, like, where did you get the knife from? And she's like, my jeans pocket. And he gets a pen, doesn't he? And he's like, okay, use this pen like you would have the knife. Put it in your pocket and pull it out like you would have with the knife. And she could barely get out of her jeans pocket. So it's like, okay, probably wasn't you then.
Well, it's nice because then they do a follow-up scene where Ray's like, yeah, you showed them, yeah, you basically proved my point. And he's going, like, no, actually, a lot of people get nervous or, like, fumble about, but they can find extraordinary dexterity when they're in a emotionally charged situation. And it's like, even then, he's playing devil's advocate, which really nice. And it was also with, I was going to say about Walsh as well. Oh, yeah, because, like, something from, I think it was earlier on in the episode, but when he's talking about the fact that, oh, like, if one of you loads a gun and the other, like, hands it to someone else to shoot it, you're both responsible. I want you both locked away, which is really interesting because it's like, I like the fact that it gives complexity to Walter's character. So it's like, first of all, that he would potentially lock away someone who he doesn't have proof on, which has happened with cops over the years. Mm-hmm. And like some of these cops are people who would otherwise think are damn fine men or women or, and you know, people. And it's kind of, I love the fact that Due South kind of goes there. It's like, you know, this is a decent, fine man who we like, but maybe he might make poor decisions if he wasn't backed up by these other people around him. Like everyone in Due South is made whole by other people around him. I think even like the original Ray was given moments where it was like he was morally ambiguous, and it's only by having Benny there. That episode earlier on in this series where they find the there's some cocaine has gone missing, because in the report it says one amount and different amount one in. And then the excuse which our new Ray gives is like it's a smiley face at the end. And then it ends up with a lineup, which can't be proved because the original Ray isn't there. And we never get a resolution on why the coke's missing. So it does. I love the there is. I'm noticing this watch back more than ever, the ambiguity in Due South. It's kind of interesting.
Kind of makes it more human as well.
It does. Yeah.
You
don't
get a lot of this in a lot of programs. You don't see this kind of like human actual side of people.
And I think a lot of us got that situation where more often than we like to admit, or even any times in our life, we might have made a poor decision if our friends weren't there and our people who we trust weren't there to keep us on the straight and narrow. I think that represents this, and I don't think policing should be kept away from that, you know.
No, definitely not. Ray and Benny are having that conversation, like when Ray is going, when Benny is saying, oh, you know, but in these situations, people can pull these different things. He goes into this story, doesn't he, like from back in Canada, where he's like, oh, you're going to talk about some guy who threw a bear over his shoulder, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, no, that'd be very implausible.
Yeah, you know, but course, what's the thing?
No, but there was this guy who threw an elephant seal, this man named Tim.
It's an elephant seal, a man named Tim. And then he's like, I love when Ray cuts him off. So you get the kind of suggestion in the story, and it's like, no, I haven't got time for that bullshit. We're going to get on with this. We're not. And again, it's another thing of like in the first series, you would have heard the story, and now you can sort of make the joke of it. Paul Crisp. Due South lives long, live Ray and Benton. Definitely. Thank you. Sorry, we're just looking.
Definitely. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul Crisp. A first-time contributor, yay! I believe, to the show. If you want to be a mini Mountie, just let us know, Paul.
Let us know. You don't have to do anything.
Nothing you have to do.
Nothing, absolutely nothing. But, yeah, just a bit of fun. So I love that. We used to hear so many of his stories, didn't we? Most of the time they get cut off, but you still get the funny bits from it, I think. There was another bit I was going to mention as well. So when they were... So they're still in the process of going through like everybody's stories, their version of events of what happened. And then when it gets to Walsh, like Walsh is like completely convinced it's like a mob thing, and he even starts to talk in like mob speak, doesn't he?
He's
like,
yeah,
forget about it.
Yes, that was a problem.
Both of us were kind of like giggling, and he's like, forget about it. You know, he's probably gone into mob speak, and he's probably going into that style of thinking.
See, because what I'm also getting, as well as his years on the force and negative experience with criminals and stuff, it obviously has played all into this. And maybe frustration at not being able to arrest people when he feels in his soul they're guilty. I think that's all in play. But I do think there's a heavy suggestion that he likes detective novels and mob films and stuff. I think there is, again, this is a cleverer episode than I think even is on the surface, because there's so much which is suggested, which you can pick out this episode, which isn't out and out said. I just think it's great for that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Just it's depending on like the different parts of their personalities you're seeing as well.
Yes.
Like with Thatcher, when she's like talking about the passion and how you, even if you're someone you're in love with, you do anything, you maybe even kill for them. You know, and she's kind of like looking at Benny, and you've got Ray, who's got his ideas. You've got Walsh, who's got his ideas. It's so kind of personal to each one. You know, even though they probably had like very similar experiences, I would imagine, within the police force. It's probably kind of like the same old stuff, like again and again and again. They've still got their personalities are coming into their thoughts and what they think might have happened.
Oh, we've got another comment from Paul. Just been watching Mask episode. Louis, I think, I'm guessing.
Louis was always unkind towards Ray.
Well, we've said, actually, it's really interesting, since when you get in Tom Liss's character as friend of the show, Tom Liss's character in as Dewey. Yeah, Dewey. No, Jack Tom. Dewey. Huey. No, Jack Huey. Yeah, Dewey. So, anyway. When you get him as Tom, because his character's named Tom as well.
Yeah.
When you get him as Tom, it's kind of interesting the way it does shift, because when you've got Jack Huey and Detective Louis Gardino, when you've got those two in, they always have them as like they're the other detectives. They're bickering. They do sometimes. Oh, geez, we're awake, right? We're hosting. When you get those characters in, they they're kind of the foil to the main guys. And every now and again, they work together on something bigger. That, you know, they do show them as being brothers behind the badge. You know, it's like that's still explored there. Like when there's something really serious, they all do band together. But otherwise, they bicker over cases. Whereas it feels like when Tom joins the cast, it is more of a kind of like they're a backup to them. There is more of a kind of collegiate kind of dynamic, which can change when someone leaves a group and someone else joins. I think that was really a smart thing to do. So yeah, good point.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And then we're going to kind of lead into when so Benny kind of decides he's going to use some hypnosis on all three of them to try and get the
truth. Yes, this is
what they've actually seen. You know, it's like they've all got their own ideas, but he wants to know exactly what they've seen. So he puts them.
And Fran comes in, going like, do you want to do me first? It's like, you weren't there, so probably not super helpful. It's like,
fine. So first of all, he brings like Thatcher up to try and put her under hypnosis. And during the process of putting her under hypnosis,
that's so nice, because he goes like, what's he start saying to her?
But it's he's going to use something, and she's like, oh no, that's boring.
And yeah, it's like, okay. Something about like that heartbeat of a animal.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, the running of a yak, or like something weird like that.
He starts off like, oh, this yak is running through the wild, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, that's not relaxing.
Yeah, whereas then she goes, because you think she's going to go for something kind of more usual. Then she goes like, what about the handbook? Yeah,
read me like the admin handbook, please.
So it's great. So
starts reading that out, and it's so dull, it puts all of them under hypnosis.
It's great. And they're all just there going, yeah. And I think it's then you hear him saying cauliflower to Ray before they all wake up.
Yeah,
right. I've discovered
they don't show you what happened throughout the whole hypnosis. He just tells you that he didn't get any answers, that none of them actually saw the knife go in, so none of them physically saw who stabbed this guy.
But then when they come out of it, we find out there is a fourth man.
Yes, there was another. And then as we go along, we find out whilst they were all under hypnosis. And I think this is very un-Benny like.
Well, yeah, I mean, my justification for it, because I did have to hand cannon this because it is very un-Benny, but he puts in trigger words. Well, we first of all find out from Ray that he's putting the word cauliflower. So every time he starts acting annoying, it's like cauliflower. It's like, Benny, you do whatever you feels right. my theory is that it's by hanging around with the two Rays for so long. I've always said, I think that Benny becomes the angel on the shoulder of the Rays, and Ray becomes the, not devil, but more streetwise.
Oh, cheeky monkey.
Streetwise being on the shoulder of Benny, teaching him to be a more rounded person. Like, yeah, being more rounded as a person involves not always doing the right thing, not always being super clean and clean. Sometimes you have to take risks to do the right thing. And sometimes you have to go into that grey area to do the overall right thing. And it's kind of really interesting because, yeah, it feels like that's this.
Very cheeky of them.
I was certainly cheeky, but yeah.
I like a little cheeky side to him.
So you're saying you like Benny's cheekies?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly what I'm saying.
Kelsapries.
One of the things they find out, yeah, so he didn't find out anything about the murder, but when they're asking him, did you find out anything useful? And he says to Ray, well, I found out you were abducted by an alien when you were dead.
Yes, that was a lovely little touch. And they don't do anything further with it. Just a joke out there. That's just, yeah.
Because that's a pretty major thing, right? But it's not even like, oh, you thought you were abducted by aliens when you were 10. It's like, you were abducted by an alien when you were 10.
Well, I think it's implied that he thought that. That's another thing we could get into. But I just love the fact that it's just a nice little throwaway joke. Just a little bit of texture there.
Yeah, so then they end up going back to the suspects and they now start blaming each other.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh my God, it's like 1 minute they're both trying to defend each other, then now they're both blaming each other. They're actually, they change their stories.
As I think Walsh says, it's like, because they both did it.
Yeah, that was what I wrote. Ray still under hypnosis and cauliflower. That's what I wrote there. Yeah, so we've established that. So yeah. Cheeky little Benny. Cheeky Benny. So we discover that the suspects actually start talking, that the handbag being stolen was a proper distraction.
Benny in the action. So he kind of, you see, it's a nice little fact. You see him in the action running after the other people, and then he comes around the corner as the narrator, basically, to narrate the knife thing. And is this where they show the knife throwing?
Yeah, so I think this is where they actually show what happens.
Because this is interesting, because Benny goes on about, throwing the knife and... Oh, so you're saying that he just threw the knife and it hit? That would be such a shot. And he goes, well, let me show you. Throws the knife, lands straight in. And then when you cut back, you see him putting it back in his holster. A little bit of a continuity error. That's why I'm saying people on IMDb must have had so much fun with this. I haven't looked up, but it seems like goof. The fact that he puts the knife away afterwards. So yeah, he throws the knife and he's still got in his hand. But like, he's just putting it away in his holster when they cut back. What's the episode? So then he throws another one because he's got another one to hang because he didn't
the first one.
And they do know a nice effect where he throws it and it goes in the back of the other one.
Yes, because he's just that good.
So we got Paul Crisp again. How many people would admit to being a member of the Due South fan club? I was. I think lots of people would.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah, I would happily.
It's okay, Paul.
And Paul, if you want to be a member of a new Due South fan club, we've got the Mini Mountie Club here on Due South by Southeast. You just say, I want to be a member of Mini Mountie Club.
Say the word and you're in, Paul.
And you're in. And you have to do nothing. It's just a bit of fun. We want to get up to 100. We're nearly at 150.
Unless you want to dress as a Mountie while watching the podcast.
Because what we're planning on doing for our Halloween special, we're going to dress up as Mounties.
We've been saying it for years.
There's going to be one episode. So we're going to dress up. We invite you at home to dress up too. Even if it's just an allowed t-shirt as Ray.
Yeah. Even if you don't want to dress up, still tune in. But why wouldn't you?
Anyway, we've just stared at the... What are we doing? Fourth wall breaking? Like, is this Jane, Silent Bob straight back? It's like, and sometimes you just got to dress up.
um, Yeah. So, purse snatch was a distraction.
That's right. Purse snatch was a distraction.
Purse snatch. That's a hard sentence to say.
Purse snatch was a distraction. Well, it is after a few of these.
It is after a few. Yeah, these are good.
Very, very nice, but not a weak measure.
It is not a weak measure.
I mean, he did say it's because it's meant to be done over ice, but I've got one cube of ice, like a one big ice cube thing.
We can't share one ice cube.
Well, I'll smash it up so we can have it in one of these after the record. But anyway, look, we're getting distracted.
Whilst we can still talk, let's go through the rest of this. We're nearly there. We're nearly there, people. This is
definitely hitting home.
We're nearly there. Yes, so it was a planned thing. So they, you know, this guy wants out. The baddie doesn't want to let him out because he's in love.
You anti-love now?
There's a baldy guy sitting behind them, which is the guy we didn't know about.
Yes.
And he's the knife thrower. Yes, it's exciting.
Yeah, which I believe
is exciting.
Believe was got from Central Casting as looks evil guy.
Yeah, it looks like Dr. Evil.
I mean, really, he's bald with sunglasses. He is just
generic evil guy.
The only person who was ever more obviously meant to be the bad guy was Darth Maul in The Phantom Menace. He's like, but he's dressed in black. He's got spikes coming out of him. He's got a double-ended red lightsaber. And it's just red and black all over. It's like, I think he might be the bad guy. And this guy was giving off similar vibes of like...
Just sitting in the back looking like the evil guy.
Yeah. Clearly the evil guy.
So you had the distraction of the purse being stolen. Benny goes running after him. So while everyone's distracted, he throws a knife and kills the guy. So it wasn't either of them that had been arrested for it. That's what we find out.
And that's when we get the knife throwing action.
Yeah, that's where we get the knife throwing action. Do you know what I did write down that we never mentioned? When Benny was demonstrating... we did write down.
He was demonstrating what, Michelle?
He's throwing.
It wasn't that kind of episode. What, you were doing this. You're doing.
I was not doing that. When I'm doing.
Now you're really pointedly. We're throwing darts.
Yeah, it's almost like darts, but with the knife. You know. I wrote down shit that should not be.
And that was the bit.
That was because of the
putting. So that's a segment on the podcast Hollywood Babylon where they take moments from TV and movies which should not be. Much like this.
Giving that a shout out. The guy that stole the handbag, when he got kind of like released from jail, he meets up with the baldy guy, and then there's a bit of a shootout. And I wrote down Ray Nerd Glasses. So apparently
I love it. He gets on his glasses.
He's like, hold on, there's a shootout. Let me put my goggles on.
And they're like those flexible ones, like as well. It's true.
This is coming from me, who always wears nerdy glasses. But
it's just really nice. I like the fact that it's like he is someone who, like, again, this is something which both the Rays have got in common, is to always look cool, but they will put their job first.
It's not something you would often see in a program. Like, hold on, there's a shootout. Look, we put my glasses on.
I mean, that was the equivalent of in the UK NHS glasses from back in the day. Now, actually, NHS glasses are
not bad now.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Back then, you got what you paid for with free glasses.
Yes. Then we get to a point that the baldy guy comes up against Benny, and Benny thinks he's used up. This guy's used up all of his bullets.
Well, this is straight after that old Western. Did I buy three rounds or four? Do you feel lucky, punk? Do you? Except for it's like them asking him if he feels like he is lucky, punk.
Yeah. He's like, do you feel like you've got any bullets left in there? Do you feel like I don't? I don't know. So it's, you know, we've got an intense standoff.
And everyone else is out of bullets as well, I believe, which is why they're not.
No one doesn't.
Because I was confused as to why no one was like, at least have his arm or something, you know. But they later on say it's like, it's Ray at the end goes like, get to the ground, I'll beat you around the head with this empty gun. Yeah. Like, you know, they established that they're also out of bullets.
Yeah. So this guy, he goes to pull the trigger. There was no bullets. So then he gets out a knife and throws it anyway.
Yeah. Oh God, it wasn't Benny who said it's like, now, I know you, like, you're assuming you have bullets now, so you're probably going to throw a knife at me. And I like, it's so Benny to like, it's like, just in case you haven't thought about throwing a knife at me, I'm going to call it out.
Just put that in your head, yeah. Just take your knife out, throw that at me, it's fine. Yeah, so he does. So he throws a knife, and it, luckily, he's okay. But he was like, to Ray's like, that was close.
Yep.
And then, funny enough, like Walsh seems to be the person that's right about all of this, doesn't he? So Walsh is like, it was a mob thing. Like, gloating a little bit at the end, wasn't it? It's like, wasn't the passionate pool boy, it wasn't that, it was the mob thing.
And I love the fact that he's bragging about the fact that he was right all along, and then suddenly someone comes across, Tom and T-Dog.
Yes,
come out and like... And they've got like it's Tom specifically. He's got the foam mustache. It's like, where'd you get that from? What the hell? And then everyone's walking around with these fancy coffees because Fran's put it in. That was nice.
Yeah, it was a little, nice little touch at the end, wasn't it? Because yep. You know, all this drama's going on. All Francesca is worried about is getting a decent coffee machine for everyone.
And again, on the way out, you've got like Thatcher goes past. Nice little bun on the episode. It's like, right, come back to the station now. You can do. It's like, what was that? Eggplant. And she goes,
yes.
Or you could stay here with your friends as long as you like. I'm going back now. Which, the only thing that raises with me is, we did not see that hypnosis session. What did he implant in Walsh? We have no idea, but you know he's done something.
Any of them? The power that man now has.
Mr. Paul Crisp, some fans were divided with Vecchio and Kwoski. I like them both.
Yeah.
Here.
Definitely. They both brought something different to the character, didn't they? And I think you just got to love them both for what they do, what they bring. It's, you know, it was obviously very difficult to kind of lose Vecchio.
It was. But I think they did a great job. Yeah. And it's like they somehow made it a similar character, but there were important differences. And I think hiring a great actor like Callum Keith Renee, again, the long tail of career he's had since, everything he's done, like he certainly was not a one-trick pony. And I think it really did, I'm getting it wrong, I'm sure he did some wonderful performances before, but in Due South, I really feel like he shows that he can take a character which is similar to the character he's replacing and make it so different, because he is a great actor as well as some great writing. You know, I think there were certainly touches when Paul Gross took over which came into the writing which differentiated the character, but if it was lesser actor, I feel like it would have been too similar. Yeah. Anyway, that is this week's episode. We've got some orders of business now, Michelle, though.
Let's do it. Are you singing?
Give me the information, I see. And tell me what are the best moments. What the best moments of the week? It's the best moments of the week. Yay! So we're going to start off with the tough one. And I know you're going to struggle with this. I have all the moments which were presented in this episode. What is your best Stephen Baker moment of the week? Of all of them, of everything.
I mean, he was in it so much, wasn't he? It's got to be the fact that he took the handbag, ran off, and bought cocaine and prostitutes.
Well, you agree with me then. I was just going to say the bit where he chased down the criminal, but no, the stuff which I've
decided he did afterwards.
Would Lenny Henry's joke lie about this? No. Just watch the next episode. Dark Souls. So we got the most American of the week. Let's go for most American of the week.
Most American of the week.
Oh, that's a tough one. So, because we can't, I'm pretty sure, you see, the thing is, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure we both had Bo Star.
Yeah.
But, oh, is it Bo Star? I always get his name wrong. I think it's Bo. Bo.
I think
Seems to pronounce Bo. Bo. Bo Star, I think we both had before, because otherwise he, I think, would be great for this, because there's so much Americana happening around his character. Mm-hmm. However, I've got it. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure I've never done it before. Please write in if you can be asked, but I don't think you can, if I'm wrong. But I'm going to go for Thatcher as the most American of the week, because she talks to a lot of the romantic ideals, I believe, which are very big in American culture, and that kind of God, that kiss on the train was very big American kind of style, mm-hmm. I think. And I think she's speaking to that. So I'm going to say, Thatcher, you are my most American of the week. Over to you.
Okay. So mine, I was going to go for the lawyer.
Nice.
Partly laziness. I think she was American. And I think
what do you mean? Is that as in Kowalski's ex?
No. When Judy's lawyer turned up, you know, because her dad is somebody. Her dad was someone important, and he'd sent this lawyer, and she was just kind of like, well, my client's dad's got money, let her go and get that guy next door who's already got a rap sheet, you know, that kind of American lawyer. I've been watching a lot of true crime stuff, and it just seems to resonate with me that's
how American the amount of married women I know who watch true crime, it's same. Be concerned, hey, Gary. Be concerned.
Not too concerned. It just seems to be a very middle-aged woman thing to start watching American true crime.
And fantasize about killing your partner. I know.
Don't. I wouldn't say I'm planning.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I thought about it, but not planning. That's a very different thing. So the most Canadian of the week. I think I've got the winner on this one.
Hmm. See, that was hard.
I might need your notes for a second.
Closed my book as well. Most Canadian. I kind of wanted to go for both of the people that were arrested for when they were both.
Oh yeah, you're doing a double.
Well, yeah, I kind of am because they were both. That wasn't my drawing, by the way. It's not my art. That is my cookie recipe. I've got all kinds of stuff in here.
I thought this was exclusively for Due South business as well.
But it is now. It wasn't always. Yeah.
And where are the cookies?
I will show you my cookie recipe.
No, make cookies. Don't just show me a recipe. That's just...
I was kind of struggling between both of them because to start with, both of them wanted to take the rap. And we all know how lovely Canadians are. We know they're lovely people. And they would... take the rap murder.
Yeah, and then they sold each other out the second layer.
They ruined it a little bit in the end, but maybe I'll say Judy just because I can remember her name. But I'm going to say Judy, because she was like, oh, no, it was me. It wasn't him.
Well, we're using the microphone, so I'm just going to use the sonic screwdriver for this moment. But Delbert.
Oh,
Delbert. Okay. He is the most Canadian of the week because they cut his lines, which I've imagined that they gave him. They made him face the opposite direction, but he's like, no, still doing my job, though. Like, the job is what comes first. And if you don't give me any lines, if you make me face a filing cabinet as I shuffle out, which you're going to have the camera on me leaving the room. You're not going to, like, cut away and go, it's like, hey, you get out of here and then cut away from me. No, you're going to show me going out with my head facing the wrong way. But I'm going to act because I'm a professional, because that's Canada for you.
All right.
To Delbert. Nice.
Very good.
My little salute to Delbert.
So I didn't even think about Delbert enough to...
Oh, you didn't even think about Delbert. Well, I thought about Delbert. I care about Delbert. Delbert, you're my G.
Oh, if only we could make Delbert a Mountie Mini. A Mountie Mini?
A Mountie Mini.
A Mini Mountie.
Well, he will have to write in if he wants to be a Mountie Mini.
Oh, dear.
Is there anything else we do?
I
think it's everything. Points out of 10, though.
Ooh.
We haven't done that, and I think we've gone it some episodes, but we'll never mind that. Right.
We may have, yes.
How many eyewitness statements out of 10 do you give this? Was it 10 or 5?
Out of 10. Oh, this was a good one.
It's really good. It's not one that... Absolute classic, yeah. But I do feel a bit underrated after watching it back.
I'm gonna go
8.5. Wow, I was thinking like 7 or 8, mm-hmm. So I think I'm gonna give it 7.5.
Okay,
so 7.5, 8.5 is well.
I like that they did some different stuff with this episode,
yeah. And it, again, it's when you watch it back with a critical eye, a mind to reviewing it for Due South by Southeast, it makes you think about it more, and I do think there's a lot going on this episode, so
It was great that I just love the way it's centered around just some of the great cast as well.
Yeah.
Such a great cast. And they just centered it around them and their viewpoints and their feelings and their, you know, kind of brought their personalities into it. And they did different stuff and different ways of filming stuff. There was so much kind of thrown into this episode you don't normally get.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. I think 7.5, I'm almost an 8, but I just think there's so many episodes which are just through and through amazing. Like, so I try and put in perspective due south, like for other we've said this many times before, but for other TV shows that might be a 9 or a 10, but for due south they've got such deep bench of amazing episodes. Anyway, that's the moments of the week, that's the mini mountain clubs, that's what we're drinking, that's our eyewitnesses out of 10, and that's another wonderful episode of due south, and indeed an episode of Due South by Southeast. I've been Detective Squee. Joining us on the comments, actually, I'm going to give him a shout out, has been Sarah Kirk and Paul Crisp. Our wolf, who's been noisier than usual, has been Detective Willow, or Lieutenant or Lieutenant Willow. And joining me, of course, the littlest, miniest Monty has been
Detective Squee. Oh, because they didn't scream. Michelle. Nancy Michelle. Oh, no, I've lost the plot.
Well, it does feel like I'm doing it myself.
I've lost the plot.
It does feel like I'm doing it by myself, apart from doing all the notes and a lot of the work. But yeah, it's okay. Has been Mountain Michelle. So, Detective Squee. Sorry, Mountain Michelle. If the good viewers and listeners and everything, and by the way, this is just some place you can get in contact with us just on the screen right now. That's for the podcast edition. I forgot we had the currants for all the rum we were drinking. We should have brought those up. Anyway, it's too late for that now. Yes, so, not that I'm getting distracted by myself, but say, Michelle, if the good folks watching at home.
See if I can get this right.
Let's just imagine for a second. They might have a device, say a compass with them. But I don't know. And they want to know, perchance, which direction they might keep it pointed in till next week. What direction would that be?
I would guess due south by southeast.
Thank you kindly. Cauliflower eggplant. So you saw nothing. Yeah. That's what we're saying. I'm sorry. Look, this was quite a
you
strong
forget
drink.
Everything.
This was a strong drink we had this week. Yeah, forget everything you've seen. Cauliflower eggplant. Cauliflower eggplant. And whatever he did to Walsh. Goodbye, everyone. We'll be back. We'll be back before, but we will be back for our Halloween special.
I know you're looking forward to seeing us in costume.
In the meantime, yes, we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.